All right, I got a quick one for you today. Have you ever wondered what all those little words are at the bottom of your Bible?
What are those?
Here's your answer. Now you might be thinking, a video about footnotes. How exciting. Whoa, hold on. You want to be smart, right? You want to understand the Bible more, right? Of course you do. So let's buckle in and let's tackle the 10 most common footnotes at the bottom of your Bible pages. Now some Bible publishers may put them a little bit differently, but these are the most common top 10 footnote types. Let's go. Number one, or. When you see a footnote with or, that means that the footnote is an alternate translation. Translating words from one language to another is not an exact science. Sure. Most words have a perfect equivalence, like rojo in Spanish and red in English, but some words do not. Bible translators want to be transparent about this, so they include it in a footnote. Number two, lit. This one is similar to or. Lit literally means literally.
Literally.
Sometimes there are words that are in the original language that mean nothing to us today, so translators use other words to help us. For instance, in Daniel 1:2, the text literally reads, to the land of Shinar. What's Shinar? Well, it's what you and I call Babylon. That's why there's a footnote, to tell us that the translators opted to use the word Babylon instead of the word Shinar for clarity's sake. In short, lit footnotes tell us when translators tweak a word to make it more clear to modern readers. Number three, equals. Equals is when translators don't want to tweak the main text to help us, but they still want to give us a clue. For instance, in Psalm 89:18, it says, "Surely our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel." Translators want us to know that our shield doesn't literally mean shield, but is a common Hebrew saying for king, like what's referenced in the second half of the same verse.
Get this man a shield.
The original writer is being poetic because Psalms are, after all, song lyrics. Now let's combine number four and number five, history and language helps. These kinds of footnotes are for filling us in on information that we might not know. In Daniel 2, we see both kinds of these footnotes in the CSB. In verse 2, translators want us to know who the Chaldeans were. They don't want to translate Chaldeans to wise men, but they want to give you that knowledge. For verse 4, the translators want you to know that from that point until chapter 7, verse 28, the original language is not Hebrew, like the rest of the Old Testament, but Aramaic. Now, we're halfway through our list, so let me ask you, do you prefer that Bible translators change the main text to be more understandable and leave you a footnote that explains the original text literally? Or do you prefer that Bible translators keep the main text extremely true to the literal meaning and then give you understandable explanations in the footnotes? Now, all translators and all translations do this both ways, just to varying degrees. Neither is wrong. It's just a matter of which way you like it. So let me know in the comments below. Do you like literal in the main and an explanation in the footnote? Or do you like the easy to understand in the main and then the literal in the footnote? Again, let me know in the comments. Number six, obscure. Translators really want to be upfront with you. If there's a word in the original language that we don't fully know what it means, they let you know. You might be like, wait, there are words that we don't know what they mean in the Bible? Well, actually, yes, there are a few, but they're few and far between. But we use context clues to get a probable translation. Kind of like when you're on a phone call and poor reception causes a word to drop. For instance, if my wife said to me, go to and get some milk, I can use context clues to figure out the missing word is store, even though I didn't hear it. Number seven, some manuscripts. If there are words, phrases, or sentences that are not in the oldest and most reliable manuscripts of the scripture, the translators want you to know that some manuscripts do include it. For a full breakdown, check out this video. It'll be linked below. Number eight, Old Testament quotes. To help us find the place in the Old Testament referenced by the New Testament authors, many Bibles put these references in a footnote just to be helpful. Number nine, Old Testament quotes plus LXX. Now this one is a lot like what we saw in number eight, but the translators are letting you know that if you look it up in the Old Testament in that same Bible, it will not be quoted exactly. Here's why. The authors of the New Testament themselves used a translation of the Old Testament called the Septuagint. This translation, often abbreviated LXX, is Greek. So follow me here. Old Testament quotes in the New Testament are not quoting the original Hebrew, but the Greek translation of the Hebrew. Again, to be transparent, the translators are showing you that the Hebrew to Greek to English version of this text was used because that was what was actually quoted by the New Testament authors. So naturally, there will be slight differences in wording because we are going through another language before we actually get to English. For more on this, check out this video linked below. And finally, number 10, cross references. Not all Bibles have cross references, but many do, so I want to cover them. Cross references are simply another place where we can find out more about a subject in the same document. In the Bible specifically, it's a note where a similar subject matter is covered so that you can study it more deeply. Often these are separate from footnotes and appear either in the left or right margins or in the center margin. Well, there you go. Now you can engage with your Bible with even more confidence because you know what all the little words mean. To explore how your specific Bible writes footnotes, the translators have explained them all in the first few pages of your Bible before Genesis chapter 1. I hope you learned something in this video. If you did, would you please consider sharing it and subscribe so that you can catch the next Bible Tidbits video when it drops on Thursday. Now, we talked a lot about languages today. You know who else knows a lot about languages? LifeWord. LifeWord has a huge collection of Christian programming that you can trust, all available for streaming and downloads in tons of languages. So head over to lifeword.org to check out the full collection. There's so much good stuff there. See you next time. Grace and peace.